I can go on and on because you just got a real cool vibe, man. Yeah, we can talk and chill. We should like get coffee or something.
Yeah, we should, man. Absolutely.
We're in your house, we're in your car, we are wherever you are, playing you the rest of the best in gospel music.
Hi, my name is the Apostle Girl Howard, and guess what? You're listening to Soul Prosper Radio.
This is
Cheryl
Pepsi Riley.
I am Tashina Arnold.
And together we are chosen.
JJ here.
This is Sam
Brad
Hammond.
This is Sherry Shepherd.
Hey, this is Percy Beatty, and you're listening to Soul Prosper Radio.
Hey, everybody, I'm Dorinda Clark Cole, the Rose of Gospel, and you're listening to Soul Prosper Radio. Y'all keep it locked.
My name is Michelle Williams. I love hanging out with Soul Prosper Radio.
This is Kim Burrell, and you're listening to Soul Prosper Radio.
Got a real cool vibe, man.
Thank you.
everybody, it's Fred Willis, and I want to welcome you to On the Record. My very special guests today are none other than Jamar Jones and Cornell Gaskin. They have a duet project out now, a duet piano project out entitled Sunday Morning at the Piano. It's phenomenal. I love it. And I love these guys. These are actual friends of mine. And so the conversation that we have today is actually just a conversation. It's not really an interview. It's me asking my friends questions. So you'll get a glimpse into that, into how the conversation flows as we get started. And it's something that I'm very excited about. I cannot wait for you guys to hear this interview. But before we get into it, I want to go ahead and share these songs, the song titles from the project, because as we got into it, we didn't really talk about the songs. We talked about putting the project together. We talked about all kind of things. But I was way into the interview before I realized I didn't tell you the song. So Sunday Morning at the Piano is a project that consists of songs. You know what, and I didn't say them in order in the interview, so I'm just gonna say them as I see them here. If It Had Not Been, Total Praise, the Richard Smallwood classic, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, My Hope Is Built, Lord I Just Want to Thank You, Passing Time, it's an interlude, Random, that's another interlude, Lord I Just Want to Thank You, there's a rehearsal to that, and then Give Me a Clean Heart, meshed with Draw Me Nearer is on there. So those of you who have not heard the project, I want you to go hear it. I want you to listen to it. And then I want you to add it to your collection, not just stream it, add it to your collection. You can buy it, I believe, on iTunes and other digital outlets. All right. So without further ado, let's get into it. I'm Fred Willis. I'm going to be talking with Jamar Jones and Cornell Gaskin today. I just wanted to come back and give you this note before we got started. You may be listening and you say, man, this don't sound like the other interviews. What in the world is going on? This was a conversation between friends. It was a very vibrant conversation. We broached a number of topics, and there were many more that we could have included into the conversation. But these gentlemen, these world-class musicians, are very busy. And I had taken enough of their time, so I decided to just kind of, you know, put a pin in it. We'll come back and we'll continue the conversation. Definitely want to continue the conversation. And I want to, in other ways, start a conversation with you, the listeners, those of you that enjoy this kind of music. So we'll see how that goes. All right, without further ado, let's get into it. Hey everybody, welcome back to On the Record. I'm your host. I was almost gonna tell you I was the guest, but I have two phenomenal guests with me this morning. Jamar Jones and Cornell Gaskin have created a body of work that will outlive all of us. It's going to be so good. It's so good. People are going to be talking about it for years to come. People are going to be studying it. I got another little note I'm going to add as I get into the conversation with them. But first of all, help me welcome them to the show. What's up, fellas?
Hey, man.
Blessings to you, Fred.
God bless you, man. Listen, it's so good to be talking with you guys. Listen, I know who you guys are, but not everybody knows who you guys are. Not yet, anyway. And the truth of the matter is they know you, they just don't know you by name. So I'm going to let you guys introduce yourselves. I was naming artists yesterday and I was like, this one and this one and and that one, and they were on that. Oh man, they were with this artist and with that sound, that was them on that. So it's way too many for me to ever try to name. If I did it, I would just be enter into this biographical phase, and I'm not writing you guys biography yet, but I do want you guys to tell us as best as you can who you are, and then we'll get into the project. Go ahead.
Oh man, Q, you want to kick this off?
Man, yeah. I guess so. Yeah, I'll go ahead. And I'll go first. I'm Cornell Gaskin. And I am just blessed to celebrate my 40th birthday.
All right.
And I'm so grateful. I've been playing music for many years. Let's just say many years now, since I was about 12 years old. And so I've been blessed to be teaching music for about 20 years and producing and just being a blessing, traveling the world and MDing, musical director of choirs and bands. It's just an honor, man, to be able to have this gift, to be able to share with the world, to impact people. So I'm the father of two, my daughter Paige and my son Josiah, and my beautiful wife, Talicia Gaskin. So I'm a family man. I love our family, and I'm a lover of Jesus Christ. I will never deny that. And I would never take that back because he has made the difference in my life. So just a little bit about me.
Amen.
Amazing. And ladies and gentlemen, I am Jamar Jones, you know, a friend and a brother to Mr. Quinnell Gaskin. Very dear friend of mine. And I'm your friend. And if you're listening, I'm your friend and I'm your brother too as well. I'm a college professor. I have an academic career as the head of the Music Industry Studies program at University of Texas at Arlington, which I do. But I started off just, you know, in church playing at a young age, probably around about 8, 9 years old, playing in church, and then grew up through the years. I've been the minister of music, the worship pastor. A lot of people know me. I was the former executive director of Music and Fine Arts at the Potter's House under Bishop T.D. Jakes. Some people know me as being a string arranger. I've worked and played on a lot of records with a lot of different people, from like Kanye West to Richard Smallwood to I've done some work with Jay-Z. I've done some work with you name it. I've played on the soundtrack to The Greatest Showman 2 as well. And then among things, I right now, my main things that I do is play the piano with Quinnell. I teach college. And I do music for film and television. I'm one of the staff composers for Young and the Restless. And I am also a son of the King, you know, a child of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I'm married to one Sergeant Alicia Jones in the U.S. military, love of my life, 20 years. We've been married and we have 3 beautiful children, ages 19, 16, 14, and I have not a thing to complain. God has protected us through this pandemic and through the season. I am therefore grateful for that. So it's me in a nutshell.
I don't know who's supposed to interview you guys. Let me go find him real quick, okay? Because I'm just holding the phone. I'm not worthy to lace up the shoes. I'm not worthy. Listen, I'm not worthy to lift the lid on the Steinway. Or whatever choice of piano you guys play, Yamaha, Bösendorf, or whatever. But listen, welcome to the show. You heard the pedigree of these gentlemen. And like he said, those of you who watch Bishop Jason, you don't even have to have watched the Potter's House. This video made the rounds when Jamar was on stage. You saw that grand piano on stage. You know who was going to be playing it. And as he said, listen, these guys have credits that, I mean, they didn't mention them all. Patti LaBelle was one of the last albums I saw Jamar working on. But even in that, I was like, he's done so much work from there. And Quinnell, I'm like, this guy's always working. Those of always. You who like discovering new music and new artists, Gerard and Javon, he's a huge part of their sound going forward. You can hear him before you even see him. And so he's one of those guys that when you know him, you know his sound and you love his sound. He came to the DFW area, and all of us young musicians that had high tops in our chest puffed out when Quinnell came, we all just kind of said, who is this and what is he doing it for? And so, but the thing about Quinnell is that Quinnell showed up and he showed us not only how to play, but he showed us how to be a good saved man. Amen.
Yeah, man.
And so that's the real, real good thing about that. So you guys, these two dynamos have come together. When I heard about the project that they were doing, my mind immediately went, obviously, to classical music, where piano duet albums are a thing. Piano compositions, duet compositions are a thing. Jazz, you know, we saw Count Basie and my favorite composer of all time, Duke Ellington, come together on a project where Count Basie played Duke's tunes. They didn't sit down too much. Art Tatum and Oscar Peterson teamed up, but I don't think they sat down and played together like these guys did. So this is a special project from the beginning, top to bottom. They've got songs. I'm going to go ahead and tell you now, those of you who love to listen to music as you pray, here's your new soundtrack. This is your new soundtrack to prayer time.
Wow.
But these guys are so gifted and talented, you might pick your head up. And if you haven't quite mastered your interjections, you might need to ask God to help you for what you just said. Okay, so because the playing, it might just I was shaking my head at my speakers like, why you couldn't just, man. I mean,
Fred, I gotta tell you this one thing, because I this is true for me, and I listen to the record like a third party because Quenelle ministers to my own soul. Like, wow. And of course, I was there in the room, but when I listened to it, I listened to it this morning. I listen to it every morning as I'm getting dressed. I'm like, man, I'll be at home just shaking my head. Yes. Like, man, oh man, how grateful I am to have been a part, but then to be able to stand back. This is how we know it's a God thing. It's not a us thing. Like, you know, we're standing back looking at his work, and I'm like, oh, okay, this is what you meant when you said it's good. Okay, yes. I get it.
Fred, I think I'm going to say, because you know, I'm going to always remember to say, it's a thought of mine every single time. The first time that I heard Jamar play, man, just this, I don't know if you ever seen Jamar's face when the video, there's some video aspects to where there's really some moments. It's one thing to play a fast song or see Jamar play a fast song, but it's another thing to see Jamar play something with no rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, he goes to this place to where you know it's him and the Lord. It's such a seriousness.
Wow.
It comes on him, and then what begins to exude out of him. I mean, the same way he says that I bless him is the same way he blesses me, because when I hear him play, I don't know anybody who can do what he can do, because it's not just the skill and the technique, which he does have, but it's also the heart. You can tell that there's been many encounters with the Lord. You can tell there's been times with God that he spent to where God made deposits in him.
Mm-hmm.
He really illuminated some things in him. And that's what you experience every time you hear him play or see him, get to see him play. So that's my experience with some of my experience with my brother. It's just tremendous. I say that humbly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So y'all, I've been a bad journalist. I've been talking too much. So I do want to hear more from you guys. And I've got to ask you this. You know, in the music world, there's always the focus on the one. There can't be more than one. If you in the DFW region, there's one. Who's the best here? You go down south of Houston. Who's the one down there? You go, y'all are from the East Coast, New York, Philly. Who's the one up there? In this, both of you ones have collided in this project. So how did you guys even meet?
Oh, how did we meet? I remember meeting, you know what? Oh, you know what? Remember this. Do you remember?
Did Spud introduce us?
No, Oscar.
Oh,
yep. Oscar was actually, because you were playing up at I think it was Oscar.
No, it was okay. It could have. I remember Spud. You was at a Myron Butler event. Something was going on, and I just happened to be there. And Spud said, "Yo, Q, you, I want you to meet somebody." And bro, I remember hearing that you had moved to the area. Now, your name precedes you, bro. Your name had preceded you before you ever got here. So I've heard about you on Richard Smallwood stuff many years before through a great brother and friend of ours, DW. So DW,
used to talk
about you all the time.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. You're on the way you land. You're on the better way you land. Because Fred, sometimes you feel like you just know somebody for like ever.
Yeah.
The truth of the matter is, so, but let's fast forward a little bit. So I do know, you know, of course we know Quenelle, he had moved away for a little while from DFW and Alaska, and he was doing all his work, and then he came back. And then after he came back, it just happened that our sons were together in school.
Wow.
Together every day. And had befriended one another. Like, and it was, and the rest is history from there.
Wow.
I mean, I can go into details, but it was our boys that actually, the Lord used our boys for them, you know, to develop a closeness that they didn't know needed to be developed or continued in us. Let me put continued in a better word.
Yeah,
like, you know, because I was like, he's from New York, but, you know, we fellow East Coasters.
Right.
And we down here in Dallas, and we kind of, you know, we get it. We've been embraced by the community. You know, I was welcome because, like, Myron and Split and all those guys are my friends. And then it was because of Split that I got to know all of the musicians here locally. And Split is just like, yeah. I mean, that's like, yo, you need to know this one. You know, meet this guy. Meet Sean Martin. Like, meet this one. Man. And so forth. And guys that would eventually became friends, but then he did connect us down there. I do remember that moment. Like, thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So with you guys being as amazing as you are and you coming together, you know, you got your different connections. Sitting down to play. Sitting down to play, you decide. How did you decide to
praise him?
Somebody's
dog going crazy. This dog is cute. He barked at me, but now he's jumping on me. He's cute. He's funny. What?
So
no, I don't mind.
So
okay,
so,
sorry guys.
That's all right. Let me ask you, I gotta ask you before I lose my train of thought. You know, that made me think of Brown. I was listening to that yesterday when David Mann recorded that album. He had his dog on the track. So you guys came together, your friends, you got your angles that you met, and obviously traveling in the circles. How did you guys decide to record together? That's the first question. Second question is, once you decided to record, how did you begin crafting the arrangements for the album?
Oh, man, that's a good question. Well, I'll give you the real quick short story on how we got to record it. Pandemic happened. Of course, we're all at home, and it was something in my heart, because everybody was doing like their videos and stuff and posting stuff to either stay relevant or have something to do. So I had this idea to record I was going to record an album solo by myself called Sunday Morning at the Piano. And I was like, cool, I'm going to do this. And that, you know, I, like, the day that I was due to go over to my university to record it, it had rained. And for some reason, we had some work done in our front yard, and there was a little flood in my front yard in the sprinkler box. I think the drain got filled with some rocks. So I was going to go in the sprinkler box, pull out the rock. Well, when I pulled on the sprinkler box, I actually pulled and tore a tendon in my left hand.
Whoa.
Yo, it was the scariest thing ever. The thing is, I tore my ACL, and when I was younger, I know what that sounds like. Mm-hmm. And all I did was I just exerted a little bit of force, and I heard the snap. And I said, oh, man. And then my arm immediately, the blood started rushing to my arm. And, of course, my blood pressure went up and stuff like that. So I went right to the doctor. And the doctor says, yeah, man, you tore a tendon. You know, you're just going to have to not do anything so it can heal, right? So I'm like, okay, cool. So then it just kind of goes along. Then we fast forward. Cornell comes over my house. He calls me. He's like, yo, bro, man, we need to hang out. You know, we get together, dude. And we hang out, and I start talking, and I said, man, I had this thing I got to do. This was in August, and I said, I think that we should... let's do it together. He said, man, I'm down. Cool. So then that was it. There was no plan for us.
No plan, bro.
No plan. All we did was go to UTA, sit down. We got some microphones and a recording engineer, and we called out the tunes. And that's what you hear on the record.
Absolutely right.
What?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's almost like a reunion. If you can imagine a reunion, some type of reunion or some type of situation to where musicians maybe haven't played together in a while because of touring, traveling, or whatever the case may be. It's like one of those things to say, hey, do you remember Don't Wait Till the Battle Is Over? Shout now. All right. So you remember how we used to count it off? Count off like that. Then we just go from there and see what happens. So it was like, yo, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, yo, what key? Yo, B flat. Okay. Right. Yo, let's go. I'm like, okay, what's next? Yo, I've really been feeling this song in my spirit. And this song in my spirit is It's the song before Draw Me Nearer. I'm just
Give me a clean heart. Give me a clean heart.
Like, yo, this song is in my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, yo, that's great. Wow, this song is in my spirit. Yo, Draw Me Nearer is in my spirit. Okay, you play Draw Me. I'm gonna play Give Me a Clean Heart. Then Q, you come in behind me, and you play Draw Me Nearer, and then we see what happens from there. It's like,
oh my god.
And it's like, yo, I got an arrangement. I got this thing. I just thought about, man. It's My Hope Is Built, but it's like this. Yo, what key? F. Okay. Yep. And then we'll just go up a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cool. Let's go. 1, 2, 3.
Wow.
There you have it.
It's definitely, I love what Jamar, you said yesterday. Fred, we've just been talking about some things, and for the audience that's listening, I think it's absolutely amazing how God always speaks to us.
Mm-hmm.
And then from us, through us,
yes,
to everyone else.
Yeah.
And so that is literally the basis and the foundation of this project. The source has spoken through us, the vessels and the channels. And we had a conversation with what God was speaking and what he was doing in that moment of time. And then what he gave us that's eternal in that time is just going to continue to grow and just continue to take on new shapes and new forms to just impact and touch people all over the world.
Yeah. And in addition, it gives our music community, our church musicians specifically, the opportunity to understand what it is like to complete your brother and not compete with your brother.
Wow.
You get what I'm saying? Like, we get the opportunity we're ministering together. All right, we're playing together. We're making music together. We're not, you know, it's not a competition. It's simply, it's a conversation. And it's something about having those conversations with people that you love to talk to, you know.
Like this right here, yeah.
Yeah, just like this, you know. And then it's like, that's what it is. Like, you know, where can we get that back? You know, we need to get that back. To a certain degree, in our churches, because, like, yo, you know, it's become, for lack of a better term, a rat race amongst not just musicians, but musicians and preachers. But I'm not going to deal with the preachers right now. I'm still a musician, but
right,
you know, comes the, you know, I want to have this, I want to do this better, I want to get these accolades, I want to, like, all of that stuff. Where it comes really, man, the authenticity. What are we supposed to do? Love God with all your mind, heart, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's what, you know, Quinnell's my neighbor. Like, you know, I'm his neighbor. And it just happens that my neighbor is the most amazing pianist in the world in my book. Bro, like, you know, yeah. I get to go over and say, hey, neighbor, man, you want to play a little bit? And he says, yeah, come on, let's do it. Like, you know what I mean? So that's the blessing. And I want everybody that's listening to hear this. And because I say this, I want you to hear my heart. Like I believe what it is I'm saying about Quinnell Gaskins. And it's not just his musicianship, but he has the one thing that every musician, if you want to be a real musician and you desire to be one, get it. This is the thing. Like, what you hear out of Quinnell is you hear an articulation of his heart that's just, you know, it's put in a word way that's like, yo, man, if I could play like that, that's how it would sound. It's kind of like a Bishop Jinks. If I could preach like that, that's how it sounds.
Yeah.
Like Donovan McClurkin. If I could sing like that, that's how it would sound. Like, you know what I mean? It goes, you know, and then we appreciate, and I appreciate his gift and his heart and his willingness and his ministry and the fact that, you know, the both of us as a team, you know, like, and I, this is the last thing I'm going to say. Q, I didn't say this yesterday, but I meant to say this yesterday. Is that, you know, the one major ideal for us and for anybody is trying to find a partner where y'all can create fruit from, you know. Mm-hmm. And this was another very important T.D. Jakes teaching for me, where he said, man, you could be successful alone. Like, it's plenty of people that are successful alone. Alone means all one. But you can only be fruitful with a partner. And I think that's very important, because, like, you know, I have the kids I have because of my wife.
Right.
I couldn't have kids by myself. Like, you know what I mean? Anything that I've become, if I really go back and look, if there was a partnership somewhere that allowed this relationship to become fruitful. And I think we're at the very beginning of, you know, like Sunday Morning at the Piano, this first volume version is like, you know, this is like our first little tree we planted, and we intend to plant more. So that's, yeah. I just want to say that, you know.
Wow, that's good that you got more on the way. You know, listen, I'm just taking all this in. I hope y'all who are listening, I hope you're taking this in. Listen, this is the conversation among friends. But these two men do not let this conversation flow in so well. Take your mind away from the fact that these are world-class musicians with the pedigree and resume to prove it. Jamar Jones and Cornell Gaskin, both of these men, in addition to being wonderful musicians, they are solid men of faith. And it comes through in Sunday Morning at the Piano. They're playing songs that we know and love from Sunday Morning. Even Total Praise is on there. So they got some contemporary songs on there. I've got to ask you guys this. What did you all learn from each other in the process of playing and recording this album? What did you learn from each other?
Woo!
A
lot. A lot. I think beyond, I think people would never, I don't know if people would ever notice, maybe I have some other musicians that maybe think like this, maybe not, I don't know. But when you are in a particular field and you see someone doing a particular thing that you do, you know, you have the you know, sometimes you find yourself being analytical. Very analytical of what they're doing,
yes.
And very from a critique. You're always critiquing.
Right.
But, you know, that chord could have been, or that bass line should have been, or that. That's the kind of vibe. Now, with Jamar, there's really nothing to critique. There's nothing to critique at all. Let me be very, very clear. Yeah. You just have to marvel and appreciate. You hear the touch. You hear the texture. You hear the thought. You hear the mixture of gospel, of course. You hear Southern gospel. You hear African-American church gospel, your Pentecostal, apostolic coming out of him. Then you hear your neo-soul. Then you hear your R&B, your rhythm and your blues. And then you hear other elements. You hear country. You hear classical. You hear all of these genres colliding. All of that comes out from him, you know? And so I really, when I experienced what I experienced with him and the things that I learned is he's such a professional. Oh, my God. My brother is a professional. When I was coming up, when I was learning how, because I didn't necessarily learn with the melody in mind when I first started. It was just somebody's going to sing this song and you're going to play some chords that sound right to that melody. When you hear Jamar, he is the epitome of melody and chords. No matter what he plays, you're going to hear that melody.
Mm-hmm.
My God, it's going to be like, it's going to stand out to you and it's going to speak all by itself. And then it's all the other colors. So it gave me another appreciation for the melody singing. And then the other creative things, to be able to find someone that appreciates the melody and then the other things that you could do around the melody. He is that and so much more.
Wow. So and like everything that Cornell just described to me, I feel exactly the same way about him. But then there's also something that I want to add. One of the things that I learned and took away, and this is part of the reason why I listen to the album so much, is because he has this way of telling you and telling you again.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He said, it's so amazing to me. Like he says, let me allow you to hear what I just said. And sometimes he'll rearrange how he said it and represent the same thing. Like, no, I want you to hear what I'm saying. It's like he has emphasis on very specific phrases in his phrasing and as such. The reason that's important is because when I was a younger guy, back in around 2005, I was on a set with Ricky Minor. I was playing with Ricky Minor and Teddy Campbell was a very dear friend of mine, the Ricky Minor band. I think we were doing to Stevie Wonder. And we had to play a song with Herbie Hancock. And in between one of the rehearsal breaks, Herbie, I was playing a little blues. I was just playing around. And so then Herbie, he said, he started playing around too. He looked at me and he's playing. And he took everything that I said and represented it to me. Almost like with a question mark. Is this what you meant?
Wow.
Right. So what was interesting about Quinnell is this is what I... He wasn't doing that, like, listening to me, per se, saying, is this what you meant? He was saying, like, no, this is what I'm saying.
Wow.
And did you hear it? Like, I want to make sure you heard it.
Yeah.
And the reason that's important, because the emphasis, if you know him from a spiritual standpoint,
yes,
and how he is in his relationship, you know, with the Lord, like, it's just like, yeah. Like, yo, man, it's, I was like, yo, this dude is preaching for the piano. Like, yeah. Yo, it's so dope. Like, yeah. Like... And it amazes me, like, yo, Fred, I put on a record, the record comes on when I get in my car, the record comes on when I'm at home, and I put it on, and I feel the same exact way, at the same exact places, every time I hear the whole thing. Like, and that's what I learned, I walked away learning that is something that I would like to incorporate into my own vocabulary. I don't know how it's going to fall on me. I got to pray and have Quinnell lay hands on me or something. So I can get that spirit to transfer. But yeah.
Lord.
Wow.
It's like Bach, though.
No. Yeah,
Bach,
yeah.
Or Beethoven. You know, that's what they did.
Yes. Hey everybody, it's Fred here. I hope you're enjoying my conversation with Jamar Jones and Quinnell Gaskin. We're talking about their brand new album, Sunday Morning at the Piano. It's such a fun conversation. I hated to break into it, but you know, we got to talk a little bit to our other friends here. We got to let them talk to you. So we'll be back after these messages. Stay right here.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to KSPR, Soul Prosper Radio, playing you the rest of the best in gospel music.
Coming to Tampa Bay, I said we want to win a Super Bowl, and I believe we will.
From IamSecond.com.
We came close, but never really did win that championship.
Former NFL head coach Tony Dungy.
At the end of my 6th year, I was fired, and it was one of the biggest disappointments of my life. Next year, I'm in Indianapolis, get to the playoffs, but get knocked out again. And for the next couple of years, it's the same thing. Everyone is saying Colts are never going to win one. And I did wonder, why didn't it pan out the way I thought it would? But I determined that I had to have Christ first, and that everything else came below that, including my own desires. The next year, that ended up being our year to go to the Super Bowl and win it. And it was a wonderful feeling. Every decision I make, I'm going to make it through the lens of Jesus Christ, and He'd guide us to that ultimate victory.
Watch Tony's story at IamSecond.com.
We'll be right back. this is Cheryl Pepsi Riley, and you are listening to Soul Prosper Radio.
It's SP Radio.
Don't y'all touch that dial. There's some good stuff on here.
Wow. This is so good, and especially what you're saying about him preaching from the piano, because, I mean, listen, when we talk about being solid in the faith, this is these conversations, they happen all the time, but people don't really get to hear them. And so when they do hear them, the first thing they say is, oh, you talk like a preacher. Well, he's preaching from the piano, guys, like right. Jamar just said. And, man, good grief. And now, don't fool yourself. Now, both of these guys can handle the text, as you can hear. That's another conversation for another day. We are talking about music today. We are talking about Sunday morning at the piano. And
Sunday morning.
Yeah, I got a few more questions. I'm gonna let you guys go. How was this recorded? From what I'm hearing, I'm an engineer as well. From what I'm hearing, is it seems like hard pans. They got one piano on one side and one piano on the other side. Is that how it was recorded?
Yeah, Jamar's on the left and Quinnell's on the right. Mm-hmm. That's the way it was. We played two Steinways, 9-foot Steinways. Mm. One is a 1926. I think that's the one that I was playing. Mm. And then Quinnell played the other one, which I don't know what that model was. It's a Steinway D, but Quinnell, of course, Quinnell actually had the piano with the more Art Tatum-ish touch. Okay. And then the piano that I had was more of the classical musician. I mean, and it was weightier on the bottom end, so it was like a larger, lower range on that piano on the left. But I had to really work. That was the other thing, is I was working myself, trying to keep up with Mr. Fast Fingers over there. I was like, man, I should have gave him this piano. Like, if I could.
You know, I'm cracking up about Jamar and Fred. I've got to tell you and the audience. The plan was, or not the plan, but the suggestion was, I said, yo, Jamar. He said, yo, okay, so we'll play a couple of songs, and I'll play this particular piano, and then we'll switch just to get a different texture or whatever. Now, it never happened.
Yeah.
Now, imagine a church service on Sunday morning. And you're saying, yo, Jamar, okay, man, I'm going to play keys, and I'm going to play for, you know, this part of the service, and then you play organ, and then we'll switch, and then you come to play keys, and then I jump on the organ. And then you get so taken in what you're doing that you forget that you didn't switch. The service is over, and you're still
running.
About you,
oh, man,
you supposed to play the organ
or something. Yeah, man, the spirit was high.
Yeah. So this was all done in the same in the same day.
Yeah, we recorded at the at Irons Recital Hall at the University of Texas at Arlington campus, the main campus, and there in the Fine Arts Building, and we did it all one evening. It was on a Sunday evening, actually.
Wow, this is just incredible. And you know what? I'm gonna run with what Quinnell said. I'm interrupting my own self. One of the lesser known combinations of musicians that people know about or even talk about is Donny Hathaway, and Lord, I forgot her name. Closer I Get to You. I'm sorry.
Roberta Flack.
Thank you. They were really good friends, best friends even. And so on Come Ye Disconsolate, he's on the piano, she's on the organ. And so
I never knew that. Wow.
Mm-hmm. And so I forget, there's another album where I think he's on Rhodes and she's on piano, or it's switched. And so they played together some. What, looking toward the future, I know volume one just came out, but what do you think volume two would look like? Will you incorporate that organ and keyboard or organ and piano sound into a volume two?
Definitely. I think that we have, I mean, if I hadn't talked to Q about this, but I'm gonna just go out on a limb and tell you, I'm about to tell you all of the Sunday morning at the piano versions we're gonna have. you know, we'll do one with organ and piano, where we probably may actually switch. We'll do one with two pianos in an orchestra, which I think would be very cool to do.
Yes.
And then we'll do one with two pianos and a big band.
Ooh, okay.
Like, which I think will also be, like, I'm looking forward to that. So that's at least our next four projects right there.
That's
well,
amazing.
Yeah, three or four.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to all of them because I love what you're doing. And this is, like I said, this is not really an idea that's germane to church music. And so are you guys finding it? You wouldn't find it difficult because us musicians know you guys. We love to hear your expression. And as I was listening, I asked you about panning because there were certain songs I was thinking Cornell was on the left, and then I would hear something on the right, and I was like, now, wait a minute. That sounds like Q. Now who did this? You know, and I'm like, as an engineer, you know, I would get a kick out of that, you know, automating certain passages in a song and doing it. But no, I was like, these are some hard pans because I hear the whole instrument over here and stuff like that. So I got to hear you guys in an expanded form, if that makes sense. You know, the whole range of your playing is on display in this album. But this is something that I think gospel music needs. It needs this pivot into really kind of exploring the artistry of our music, of the songs that we sing, the songs that got us over, the songs that are we sing in our sleep, can't sing in our sleep, you know, songs we hum around the house, you know, and this is just a level of expression that is not germane to gospel music, but I think has been needed for so long because everybody, they can play the hip stuff. You know, you mentioned playing with Herbie Hancock. Yes, that's a buzzword in gospel music, you know, but it goes from Herbie Hancock to Richard Smallwood. You know what I'm saying? There's no in between. You know, people are afraid, they're ashamed to do that. Or like he said, the country stuff. Oh, let me put that in the shout. You know, I play that after I play the Flintstones. Okay, cool. All right. You know, but you have it on full display in this album, you know. And so I'm very glad to hear volume one. Now you got other volumes coming, but we're at volume one. And I love what it's introducing to gospel music because there are guys who play like this. There's just no room for it right now.
I do think that it is one time for us to return back to some of our sacred expressions, if you will. But then at the same time, well, let's explore, like Bach was the church organist.
That's what he did.
You know what I mean? Yes. He's the church organist. Like, so the church organist had all of this, not just potential, but he had all of this gift in him to do these amazing things. So he was able to, in his own expression, okay, this is what I can do from a technical perspective, but then this is also how I can express my faith too at the same time. And I think we can blend the two, and we need to kind of create not create a platform, because God is the platform, but we just need to do it. You know what I mean? And then let it live, let it breathe, you know. Yeah. The thing about this music in particular is it's utilitarian in nature. So whether you listen to it for enjoyment or you listen to it for meditation, a good friend of mine, Dennis Atkinson, who is an amazing musician, he said he put on the record and he had his Bible open and they was both speaking to him. And I said, man, what a testimony for us. You know, and for him, I was like, man, glad that he shared that with me, because I said, that's the intent. It's not for us to detract you from God, but to help you or assist you or aid you, you know, to getting your godly thing, getting your spiritual thing, getting your study on. If it works, if it helpfully, it'll heal some people, you know, in the nursing home, or, it'll inspire some musicians to want to go to college. You know what I mean? Like, let it be that. But it's a God thing and not an hour thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So good. Man, praise God. Wow. I love it.
Yep.
I do as well. And so you guys obviously will have already influenced musicians around the world. But your influences kind of came through in this playing. As I mentioned a moment ago, you know, we heard the full range of your playing on these tunes anyway. Who were your influences? Who influenced your sound?
Wow, man, So, everybody, this is Jamar Jones again. My influences start with church musicians, a guy named Byron Ward, who was like the church version of Chick Corea for us. Mm. And growing up in Philadelphia, the church that I grew up in, really across the pond in Philadelphia, Camden, New Jersey. And then Stephen Ford, obviously, yeah, who was my mentor and father, a great influence on me. And then you get into all of the jazz greats that I grew up listening to and studying jazz. So Chick Corea, Herbie Hancock. But the biggest influence for me from a jazz perspective would have been Russell Ferrante, the keyboard player from the Yellow Jackets.
Yeah.
And I think that's what helped me to develop like the sense of church and jazz together, and that it assimilated somewhere in there. So those are like my main. Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Well, for me, there was a guy who was my music teacher. I actually honored him this year during the pandemic. He lives in California. His name is Dr. Renix Graham. And he was my first teacher, or first person that I heard play. And I reluctantly wanted to play in the first place, but the person who showed me was just absolutely phenomenal. I heard things that he did, and when I started playing, it took me some years to learn what he did. So him, I got into Take Six, of course. Love Take Six. Mm-hmm. Actually going to see them at Gateway this Sunday with my wife and family. I'm excited about that. They'll be here in Texas, in the Dallas area, at Gateway this weekend. So they really influenced me greatly. Just the voicings. I think it's Dr. Dent, who plays and plays. I mean, he's amazing. Him, another guy, a young guy that I used to play with, his name is Andre Owens. He introduced me to Art Tatum before I knew who Art Tatum was. I knew the name, but could not, you know, in my church, you didn't listen to jazz music. You weren't him. You listen to that. But he really influenced me. And then another guy, his name is Byron Preston, older guy, Church of God of Christ. He had an impact. And then, of course, John Peters is from my area. He's from the Bronx.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, and then the list just keeps going on and on and on and on. From, it's amazing, I think, and maybe Jamar can attest to this, and even you, Fred, you play as well, a wonderful musician as well.
Thank you,
sir. It's amazing the sponge that you become.
Yes.
You know, for some people, it's more than others, but I believe that, you know, all the people who are blessed to do what they do musically and go to a certain level, you are sponge. So for me, film, when I listen to cinematic music, mm-hmm, film music, you know, even cartoons, Tom and Jerry, you know, that's when I heard some of the Rachmaninoff and the various WC, before I knew who these people were.
Right.
Yeah. You were watching these television shows. You were watching Mr. Rogers. And it's so funny that Jamal was talking about, you know, the neighbor. He was big on, would you be my neighbor?
Yeah.
You know? Uh-huh. Yeah. Yes, sir.
That like came like a movement around the country and around the world. But like Mr. Rogers stuff, you know, so I think it's Johnny Costa.
Yeah,
also, can you imagine that, all of these greats, even orchestral arrangers that I didn't quite understand, like when I was watching Isle of Lucy, all of that stuff, it got in me.
Yeah.
So it's like you bring all of that to the piano, or bring all of that to the organ, or bring all of that to strings, or whatever it is you're playing.
Yeah.
And that stuff just comes to you. So that's some of the things that really kind of like helped me to grow and just evolve. And it comes out, and it's still coming out.
Wow. Well, y'all, it's all over this album, Sunday Morning at the Piano, If It Had Not Been, Total Praise, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. I'm just naming these songs. My Hope Is Built, that's one of my favorites, because I just love how dainty the song is. But as it goes on, you know, it's like that cute kid that's just kind of standing over there real quiet, and something happens and you find out you don't mess with the quiet kids. So this one just kind of just grows into this. Wow. This album is to the force. Okay, Lord, I just want to thank you. Ah, if you know that song, you're going to gravitate to that one. Passing Time, it's an interlude. Random, another interlude. Lord, I just want to thank you. The rehearsal. Give me a clean heart, draw me near. So, you know, you can imagine these guys sitting at the piano, they talking and playing. So how long were your rehearsals when you kind of sat down and played through songs? How long did that take you to kind of nail down ideas?
Oh, man, minutes. I mean, a couple minutes. It was just called rehearsal because they was changing batteries and cameras.
Oh,
that's right.
That was the rehearsal. Okay.
Yeah. I think at one, you hear me say, at the end of one of them, you hear me say, oh, y'all waiting on us. Oh, okay, cool, let's go. Like,
oh, yes, y'all. You have to listen all the way to the end. I know sometimes if you're not a musician, if you're not a musical person, you might just go ahead and skip. But you got to pay attention to the conversations at the end. Those are quite funny. They add to the character of the album. And listen, get the album, y'all. Get it. It's everywhere you can buy music. You have to get it. As I said at the beginning, it's the new soundtrack to your prayer time. It's something you listen to in the car. It's something that, as a musician, if you just need something to learn, if you spent this whole pandemic and you haven't learned anything, I don't know how that's possible. But anyway, listen to this album. You got ideas. You've got years. You've got together about 50 years of musical experience put into this first volume. They got so much more coming. So maybe some, if you say, I don't know about this one, volume 2 is coming, volume 3 is coming, volume 4 is coming. But I admonish you to just go back and listen if something didn't grab you by the first listen. This is amazing. I want to thank you guys for your time. I just kind of been all over the place. Those of you who listen to me, you know I'm a little more polished on these, but we had just a real conversation. These guys, I had to do it this way because as busy as these guys are, the chance that I'm going to have this in person ain't happening. You hear Jamar say he's a staff writer for The Young and the Restless. Y'all watch TV, y'all know what show that is. So he's busy. He's busy doing stuff in America, in other countries. Cornell is Cornell's the same way.
When Cornell goes live on whatever platform, he got people from India showing up. So you're like, I'm just saying.
Yeah, so I said, listen, if y'all just call me, we can have this conversation. I didn't put any format on it. We didn't make it formal. You heard a conversation between actual friends. These guys are on my Facebook. So if you on my Facebook, just search Jamar Jones and Cornell Gaskin and you can see everything they're doing. Sunday morning at the piano, you guys. Sunday morning at the piano is amazing. It's amazing. And sometimes, you know, I wait for people to send me music. I'm putting it out there. I'm getting this one and adding it to my personal collection. I'm not asking you guys, hey, who's servicing your music? What's your single? I'm going to buy it. And the ones I like, because I can't put the whole album on. I wouldn't do that. I'm going to put that one on because I want the world to know about this phenomenal project. And the synergy, that's another word, the synergy that's on display from this album. I believe it'll bless people for generations to come. That's what I said at the beginning, and I'm holding on to that. As I close, I'm going to give you two the last word. You can close us out.
Well, Cornell is our chaplain, so I'm going to just I say I thank you all for your support. We thank you all for your prayers. We thank you all for sharing. You know, please keep us in your prayers. And that's all I have to say. Thank you, Fred, for allowing us to come be a part of the show.
Anytime,
your platform. We really, really, really do appreciate it. And we hope to be back. We'll come back when we come in person. We'll be there.
So, absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Well, I'm grateful, man, and really honored for this opportunity and this time, this moment that God has given us, to share with you, Fred, and to share with the audience and share with the people.
Yeah.
Everyone who's listening, you are somebody. Everyone who's listening, God has a plan for you. He loves you, and so do we. This project is something that can really help to, I really believe, to inspire, to motivate, and to just be a part of your life in a great way. If you know anybody else who has needs, in need of a pick-me-up, in need of something to remind them of God's greatness, God's goodness, and be a source of healing, Sunday morning at the piano is definitely something that you would want to make a part of your library. It's going to bless you tremendously. So I'm so grateful to be able to share with a great brother. I can't say it. We're going to be saying this until Jesus comes. Sure. Roy Jones is one of the greatest brothers I have in my life. Amen. And I appreciate him so much. And if you don't know him, listen, follow him. You see him live, follow him. You hear him doing something, he's on it, go get it. It's going to bless your life. So, my brother, I want to say again, I really thank God for you, man, and just your life and what you stand for and what you represent on this earth and in the kingdom of God. So I love all of you. Thank you for this moment, Fred. Praying for you and the family. Please give everybody my love. You already know how we do.
Yes,
challenging,
sir.
Changing, and challenging one life at a time. Jesus.
I Amen. Heard that. All right, so let me get a radio drop from you guys. Just introduce yourself and let everybody know they're listening to Soul Prosper Radio with Fred Willis.
Okay. Hi, everybody. This is Jamar Jones, and I'm with Fred Willis on Soul Prosper Radio.
Cool. All right, you.
Okay. Hello, everyone. This is Quinnell Gaskin, and I am on the radio with my brother, Fred Willis of Soul Prosper Radio.
That works. All right, you guys. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. I got a bevy of these I got to put up, but I'm putting them all up. I'm don't tell nobody. I'm gonna put yours up at the front of the line. I'm ready to get this one up. So, you know, I really am legit. Hey, I'm legitimately in love with this album.
We appreciate it, man. We need all the help we could get because we flowing. We flowing, and thank you, man. I really, really do appreciate. We appreciate you extending this to us.
Absolutely. Yes, now, indeed. Could this be considered jazz? Is there anything in this that the jazz community critics anyway?
Yes, 100%. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It really is a jazz album, but okay. I typified it as Christian because they gave me an opportunity to do a main category and then a subcategory.
Yeah.
So I did Christian and jazz as a subcategory, but on iTunes, it came up just as Christian. Everywhere else is coming up on Christian charts, stuff like that. Which, you know, if it had not been, you know, most Christians, whether you Southern Baptist or Northern Pentecostal, everybody knows that song.
Yeah.
So it seems to be resonating. But I shared it with my colleagues at the university, you know, as a jazz album. That's how they hear it. And they actually loved it. I forgot to tell you that, Q. Like, you know.
Wow.
The professor was like, yo, man, this is amazing. Like, you know,
come on.
It's our expression and their lens into our world, which is way different than the traditional Bill Evans and the stuff that they teach. It's like, no, these are the grandsons and great grandsons of slaves that play the music that y'all studying. Ooh, like, you know, so it resonates a little different with them because they really would like to have that experience, but they don't know how to get it. Well, I'm just like, yeah, you got to be a slave. You got to get shipped in a ship across the seas, and then you'll play it like we do. So it's cool. But yeah, we'll probably follow up on some of the jazz. Really, the standard jazz. You know, I'm gonna do probably some things with some promotion, hopefully with NPR, some of those other outlets.
Okay,
we promote it as a jazz album, and then it becomes an American music expression,
right?
As opposed to the way we see it in gospel music, so to speak.
Yeah, I love that. Yep. I love that. everybody, it's Fred. I hope you've enjoyed this conversation today with Jamar Jones and Quinnell Gaskin. We were talking about Sunday Morning at the Piano. If you do not have it already, you need to get it as soon as you can. Matter of fact, as soon as this episode ends, take yourself right on over to iTunes, Tidal, Google, wherever you buy your music from. Go buy it. Add it to your collection. You will be so glad that you did. It's going to be a blessing to your life. As I said, this is a new soundtrack to your prayer time. However you use it, as Jamar Jones said, it's utilitarian. It's however you apply it. Whether you listen to it in the car, whether you listen to it critically, whether you listen to it to learn from these world-class musicians. Listen, just do it. Just do it. Add it to your collection today. Those of you who stream it. You know, add the playlist. Make sure you do that. Get those spins up. All right. I want to thank you so much for listening to On the Record. I really love having you be a part of the experience. And tell somebody after you listen to this episode, share it with somebody. Share. Share it with everybody you can. Share it with a musician today, especially a church musician. Share it with somebody who is in the faith, somebody who has this Christian experience in addition to their playing, or playing in addition to their Christian experience. All right. However you do that, let somebody know that Sunday Morning at the Piano is out. It's available, and I want everybody to hear it. These guys are phenomenal, and I'm so glad to have spent this time with them. All right, and I'm so glad to have spent this time with you, too. So until the next time, may the Lord be with you. God bless you, and I holla.
It's profound, man. It's for real.
It's SP Radio.